Amen. All right, well, you're there in 1 Timothy chapter number 2. I'd like you to keep your place there if you would and turn back with me to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter number 23. Keep your place in 1 Timothy. We're going to come back to it, but go with me to Matthew chapter 23. It's the first book in the New Testament. It should be fairly easy to find, Matthew chapter number 23. And of course, if you were with us last week, you know that we've been going through some lessons with regards to discipleship. And last week we learned about separation, and we learned about just the philosophy of separation in a general way, and the fact that we should be separated. God wants us to be separated from the world unto God. We are called to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And of course, we laid a foundation for this idea of separation, because over the next several weeks, we're going to be looking at some very specific things with regards to separation and how to live a separated life, how to live a life that is separated from the world unto God. And this morning, I'm preaching a very specific sermon, and I'm preaching on a very practical subject in regards to separation. And I'm preaching about the subject of separation in our appearance, separation in our appearance. And I'm teaching about what the Bible teaches about biblical dress standards. And one thing that you may not be aware of is that God cares about every aspect of your life. God cares about everything you and I do, and He wants us to bring glory to Him in every area of our lives. And clothing is important. Exterior appearance is important to God. And I want to just share a verse with you here in Matthew 23 just to kind of lay a foundation for this. The Bible says here in Matthew 23, verse 25, Jesus, of course, is speaking, and He says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." I want you to notice what He says. He says, "For ye may clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess." I want you to notice that here Jesus is rebuking the Pharisees. He's calling them hypocrites because they've taken the time to clean the outside, the exterior, while they've not taken time to deal with the interior. He says, "Ye may clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess." And oftentimes, especially in our culture today, most of Christianity today is what we would call liberal. And it is a Christianity that does not want to teach the controversial parts of the Bible, does not want to teach the whole counsel of God. One thing you should know about Verity Baptist Church is that we don't shy away from any portion of Scripture. My job as a pastor is to teach the whole counsel of God, and we want to teach you everything the Bible says. And oftentimes, people will go to a verse like this, and they'll say, "See, God doesn't care about the exterior. He says here, 'For ye may clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full, of extortion and excess.'" And they'll make the point, say, "God doesn't care about the exterior. He only cares about the inside." But I would submit to you this morning that that's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying there's no point of cleaning up the outside when the inside is still rotten. But He's not saying He doesn't care about the outside. Notice verse 26, Matthew 23, verse 26. He says, "Thou blind Pharisees," notice what He says. He says, cleanse first that which is within the cup and the platter, that," notice these words, "the outside of them may be clean also." So notice He doesn't say, "Don't worry about the outside." Jesus says, "I want the outside to be clean as well, but I want you to focus first on the inside. Cleanse first that which is within the cup of the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also." And what I want to say to you this morning as we begin this sermon is this, that our purpose for learning about things like this, and specifically this morning on dress standards and what the Bible teaches about our appearance, is not to, like we talked about in our previous lesson, is not to create a bunch of Pharisees that have the outside right while the inside is corrupt. The truth is that we should be more concerned with the inside. You should be more concerned with your heart and having a heart that's tender towards God and learning what the Bible says and caring about what God cares about. You and I ought to care about the things that God cares about. But what the Bible is teaching is that when we care about God, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit from the inside, when we cleanse first that which is within the cup of the platter, it is just inevitable that the outside of them will also be clean, that the outside of them may be clean also. So I want to speak on the subject of clothing this morning. Why? Because it is an extremely important subject, and it is important for us to focus on the interior and the exterior. Now, if you would, go back to 1 Timothy chapter number 2. And while you turn there, let me just read to you from 1 Samuel chapter 16. You go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Go back to 1 Timothy if you don't mind. And I'll read to you from 1 Samuel 16. 1 Samuel 16 and verse 7, we find the story, of course, where Samuel is going to anoint David as king. He doesn't know who he's looking for. He just knows it's one of the sons of Jesse. And God is expressing to him to not look at the height of the individuals, to not look at their exterior. This is a verse that's often quoted within this context of appearance as well. 1 Samuel 16 and verse 7 says this. You go to 1 Timothy 2 and verse 9. 1 Samuel 16, 7 says this. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Now let me just say this. Every word of that verse is true. The Lord does look on the heart, and the Lord does not see as man seeth. However, today, many liberal Christians will try to take this verse and say, so see, the outside doesn't matter. But again, that's not what the verse is saying. The verse is saying, for the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And it is true that God can see your heart. But this verse is also telling us this, that man can't see your heart. Man can only see the outward appearance. And if you remember last week, we learned that one of the reasons that we want to live a separated life is to draw close to God. But another reason we want to live a separated life is to display a good testimony before men. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see, your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So if we must be concerned with what the world sees, the testimony, then we must be concerned with our outward appearance. Because yes, it's true. The Lord does not see as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. So this morning I want to give you some thoughts with regards to biblical dress standards. And what I'd like to do is give you three guidelines. We're not going to tell you have to wear this and not wear this brand and not this brand. We're not Amish. We're not going to tell you it has to be this dress and only this dress, or these clothes and only these clothes. But what we're going to do is give you some guidelines from the Word of God to guide you and to help you understand how it is that a Christian should look, and how it is that a Christian should dress, how it is that a Christian should appear. In the back of your course of the week, there's a place for you to take notes, and maybe you'd like to jot some of these things down. And let me just say this again, just by way of introduction, and I feel like sometimes I have to give a lot of introduction, because I realize that a sermon like this is not going to be preached at the average church. You are not going to show up to the average church and hear a sermon like this. Most pastors are just not going to touch this subject, whether they understand it, whether they believe it, whether they know what the Bible says or not. They're just not going to touch the subject because it can be offensive to some, and it can be controversial to some. But again, I want you to know, and one thing you should know, is that we're never going to lie to you here at Verity Baptist Church. We're always going to tell you the truth. Now, we're going to do our best to speak the truth in love and to teach you what the Bible says. But we're going to teach you what the Bible teaches about these things. And let me just say this. What excites me about a growing church is that a growing church always has growing Christians. A growing church always has Christians that are new converts, new to the faith. They're being discipled, they're learning, and they're growing. So for many of you, this might be new. This might be the first time you've heard something like this. This might be the first time you've heard any sort of teaching on this subject. Even if you've grown up in other churches, you may have just never gone to church that is going to teach you the whole counsel of God. And if that's you this morning, and I know there's many of you this morning that may be the case, let me just say this. This is a guilt-free sermon for you. If you've never heard this teaching, you've never had a pastor teach you from the Bible some guidelines for dress and what God desires in your appearance, then you have no reason and no need to be embarrassed or to feel guilty in any way, because what we want to do is we want to teach people the Word of God. And a growing church is always going to have growing Christians. I get excited when we have new converts and new Christians and new guests at our church. Just yesterday, we had our Spanish service, which our Spanish ministry is a new ministry that we're getting off the ground. We had 70 in our Spanish service, by the way, which is a great number for just the few services we've had. And you know, it excites me when people walk into a church service and you can just tell they're unchurched. You can just tell. They just don't. They don't look right. They're not dressed right. They don't know. You say, does that bother you? No, I love that. I love the fact that we're a church that is reaching new people and teaching new people. And a growing church is always going to have growing converts. And I hope we always have growing converts. I hope there's always people coming in who need to learn, who need to grow. Because when we get to the place where everybody's just, you know, all looks the same and doing all the things, then we're not reaching new people anymore. So if this is new to you, we just want you to know that this is a guilt-free sermon for you. You have no reason to feel any sort of guilt. We want to teach you what the Bible says about these things, because at the end of the day, you should care what God thinks about you. And I should care what God thinks about me. So let me give you some guidelines with regards to dress standards, and maybe you'd like to jot these down. Number one, when we're going to talk about biblical guidelines for appearance, number one, modesty. Modesty. I'm going to give you three words this morning to help guide your decision-making for your appearance. And the first biblical guideline for appearance is simply this word, modesty. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, in verse number 9, the Bible says this, 1 Timothy 2:9, it says, in like manner also that women adorn themselves. The word adorn, or the phrase adorn themselves, means to make themselves beautiful, to make themselves look nice. The Bible says here, in like manner also that women adorn themselves. By the way, let me say this. God is not against women adorning themselves. God is not against women trying to look nice and trying to make themselves look beautiful. In like manner also that women adorn themselves. But here's what God says, and here's the guideline that God gives. Go ahead and adorn yourself. He says, but do it with modest. He says, in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety. He says, not with broided hair. And that word broided there in our King James Bible is a word that's spelled in an archaic way, but it just means braided. Not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. God says that we should dress modestly in our appearance, with shamefacedness and sobriety. And he says, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. And let me just say this. God's not against braided hair. God's not necessarily against gold or pearls or costly array. But what he is against is us bringing too many of these things together and then not being modest. The Bible says that we ought to be dressed, and here specifically it's being applied to ladies, but it applies to men as well, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. Go with me, if you would, to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter number 3. You're there in 1 Timothy. You're just going to go past 2 Timothy, past Titus, past Philemon, Hebrews, James, 1 Peter. 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, 1 Peter. Again, if you're newer to our church, let me just say this. You may not be used to a church that preaches the whole counsel of God, and you may not even be used to a sermon that's going to use as much Bible as we're going to use today. We're going to look at a lot of Bible, because what I want you to know is that these are not Pastor Jimenez's opinions. These are not just what we've decided at Verity Baptist Church is our dress standard. No, what we're telling you is what God says. These are the biblical guidelines that God has given us. And the first thing we see is that God desires that we be modest in our apparel. Now, you're turning to 1 Peter chapter 3. While you turn there, let me just give to you the definition of the word modest. The word modest is defined as free from vanity or egotism or boastfulness or great pretension, free from ostentation or showy extravagance, not bringing attention to yourself. And that's really what the word modest means, and that's what God is trying to get us to understand, that when we dress as Christians, when we wake up in the morning and are trying to figure out what are we going to put on this temple that God has given us, we should strive to dress modestly, not showing extravagance, not attempting to bring attention to ourselves. There's some other words that are used there in 1 Timothy 2:9. I know you're in 1 Peter 3, but let me just remind you. He says, in like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety. And those words, shamefacedness and sobriety, the word shamefaced is just another way of saying modest or bashful, showing shame. Sobriety means with moderation, with gravity or seriousness. And those are just the opposite of showy extravagance. Shamefacedness is the opposite of bringing attention to yourself. Sobriety is the opposite of bringing attention to yourself. Modesty is not bringing attention to yourself. Are you there in 1 Peter chapter 3? Look at verse number 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3, the Bible says this, "Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair." Again, that's referring to elaborate braiding, intricate styling of hair, and of wearing of gold, and of putting on of apparel. And again, I just want to highlight for you, God is not against, ladies, you doing your hair nice. He's not even against braiding or plaiting of hair or wearing gold. Because if you notice the last part of verse 3, he says, or of putting on of apparel. He's not against you putting on apparel. What he's against is putting on apparel, putting on excessive gold, putting on some hairdo that's just meant to bring a lot of attention to yourself. God wants us to live humble lives and modest lives. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair, of wearing of gold, and of putting on of apparel. Notice the emphasis is this, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament, notice these words, of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. So I want you to notice that the first guideline we see from the Word of God with regards to dress standards, how are we going to dress as Christians if we want to be Christians that please the Lord? The first guideline is this, we ought to be modest. We ought to be modest. What does that mean? It means not flashy. It means not bringing attention to ourselves. And let me just say this, modest does not mean ugly. Modest does not mean frumpy. It just means not flashy. You can still adorn yourself nicely. You can still look nice and look presentable. You can still, ladies, look pretty and wear pretty clothes. Nothing wrong with that, but you ought not, and we ought not, no Christian ought to wear clothes that are meant to bring attention to yourself. In Proverbs chapter 31, you don't have to turn there. I'll just read this for you. But in Proverbs 31, we, of course, have the famous chapter of the virtuous woman. In fact, I read to you from Proverbs 31, go with me, if you would, to the book of Exodus. In the Old Testament, you've got Genesis, and then you've got the book of Exodus. And please find Exodus chapter 28. While you turn there, I'll read to you from Proverbs 31, because I want to prove to you, Proverbs 31 is the chapter that gives us a description of just a virtuous woman. A woman who God says, this should be an example for every Christian lady. And here's what the Bible says about the Proverbs 31 woman. Proverbs 31 verse 21 says this, she's not afraid of the snow for her household. Here's why, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. The virtuous woman makes sure that her household and the people in her family, they're clothed properly. They're clothed with scarlet. The next verse, Proverbs 31, 22 says this, she maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. So the Bible tells us about the virtuous woman. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her household is clothed with scarlet. I don't think that if you and I would have seen the virtuous woman that is being described in Proverbs 31, you would have seen a lady that's messy or frumpy or not looking nice. I think she probably looked very nice. But I think in that adorning of herself, in that clothing which is silk and purple, she still dressed in a way that was modest, that was not bringing attention to herself. So how do we apply this as Christians? Because it's easy to say modest. Just be modest. And I could just say that and leave it there and say, well, I preach the Bible and there you go. But the truth is this, sometimes we need to really apply this to our lives. What does this actually look like in real life? You know what I found is this, sometimes to learn or to have a clear picture of what we're supposed to do, we should understand what we're not supposed to do. And if you want to know, well, what does modest look like? Why don't we consider this? What does immodest look like? Because if we're supposed to be modest, then we're not supposed to be immodest. We're not supposed to be immodest. What is immodest? It's the opposite of what's modest? Not bringing attention to yourself. Immodest is dressing in such a way that brings attention to yourself. Dressing in such a way where you walk into a room and everybody's just looking at you because of the way you're dressed. Now, this could be applied in a lot of different ways, but let me just give you some thoughts with application. Let's talk about men, because we've been focusing, these verses have been focusing on ladies, and of course, dress is something that's very important to ladies, but these guidelines are for both men and women. What does immodest, or what is an example of immodest apparel with a man? And the idea is this, that men, we ought to dress in such a way that is not bringing attention to ourselves. It doesn't mean we can't look nice, but we ought not dress in a way that is extremely flashy or meant to get people's attention. By the way, let me say this. It's not about the types of clothing either. Because you could wear the same type of clothing in a modest way or an immodest way. For example, here at Verity Baptist Church, we're a conservative Baptist church. We're a traditional Baptist church. So when I stand up to preach, and any man that stands behind this pulpit, we ask them that they wear a shirt and tie and a coat. And we don't make everybody in our church wear shirts and ties. You don't have to wear a shirt and tie to be part of our church, and nobody expects that from you. But when you're going to stand here and lead, especially if you're going to handle the Word of God, we want men to dress nicely. Why? Not because we're special, not because you're special, but because the Word of God is special. And what I tell men is this, look, when we come to church, we're meeting with God. And if I wouldn't dress a certain way to meet with the president, why would I not dress, you know, if I get an invitation to the White House, guess what they're going to make me wear? A shirt and tie. They're going to let me walk in a tank top and shorts and flip-flops. Well, let me tell you something. God is more important than the president. And the house of God is more important than the White House. So we have standards. And again, we don't enforce those for everybody. You can dress however you'd like, and we think you ought to wear the best you've got and for the house of God. And we realize not everybody has suits and ties, and we understand those things. But what the point that I'm making is this. We ask men to wear suits and ties. I'm wearing a suit today. I think I look nice. You may not agree. That's okay. I don't care. As long as my wife thinks I'm dressed nice, that's all I care about. But, you know, I think I look presentable. I mean, I think I look nice. I think this is a nice suit. I don't think anybody would look at me and say, man, look at that guy. He's dressed like a slob, you know? I'm talking about the way I'm dressed, all right? I'm not talking about the way I look. I can't do anything about my looks. But I can do something about the way I'm dressed. And I think I'm dressed nice. But you know that you could wear a suit in an immodest way? I mean, what if I showed up to church? What if I walked into that door this morning and I was wearing a suit? And I said, hey, I'm wearing a suit. But what if it was just like a red suit with white pinstripes? I mean, what if I'm just wearing a red suit, white pinstripes, a matching red hat with a feather in the cap? I mean, just gold rings, gold chains, a gold chain, you know, red leather shoes, and I'm just, well, I'm in a suit. Well, here's the thing about the suit. It's kind of flashy. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? It's not modest. It's actually immodest because it's meant to get everyone's attention when you walk through the doors. We're like, look at how he's dressed. Look at how that person looks. And what God says is this, that in the Christian life, our lives ought not be about ourselves, but about bringing glory to God. And even in our dress, we ought not be trying to bring attention and attract attention to ourselves. And again, let me just be clear. We don't have a dress code here. What we tell people is this, hey, wear your best to the house of God. If your best is a polo shirt and a nice pair of jeans, that's fine. There's no problem with that. But what we're saying is this, we ought to dress our best for God, and we ought to be modest in the process. We want to be modest. For men, this applies as well. Men need to make sure that you're not dressing in such a way that is meant to bring attention to yourself. But what about ladies? What does immodest look like? Well, of course, flashy, a lot of gold, big fancy hairdos that are meant to just bring a lot of attention to yourself. These are not things that God desires. But let me say this for ladies. This is a usual application. You know, ladies, you ought to be careful about making sure that you're not wearing clothing that is too tight, too revealing, too short, skirts that are too short, tops that are too low. Why? You say, why not wear clothing that's just really revealing, just showing a lot of skin, just skirts that are real short, real tight, tops that are really low. Why not? Because let's be honest, when you're dressed that way, you're dressed to bring attention to yourself. That's not modest, that's immodest. And look, I'm not mad at you, and I'm not preaching at anybody in particular. What I am telling you is this, that when you and I get up in the morning, one of the guidelines that ought to be in our mind is this: I want to honor the Lord with every area of my life, including the way that I look and my appearance. And one thing that God says is, I want you to dress modest, not bringing attention to yourself, not wearing clothing in such a way that is meant to get eyes to look at you and get eyes to look at your body and get eyes to look at yourself. It doesn't mean you need to dress ugly. Doesn't mean you need to dress frumpy. Doesn't mean you can't look nice. Doesn't mean you can't dress in a way that looks nice and presentable. But we ought not dress in a way that is meant to bring attention to ourselves. And for men, that could be the way the clothes you're wearing or the way you wear it. For ladies, oftentimes, it has to do with how tight, how revealing, how short, how low, revealing of the clothes are that you are wearing. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 10, and again, I realize that this is something that you're not going to hear at the average Fun Center church. Look, the average Fun Center church that you show up to, you know what I'm talking about, Fun Center Church? I'm talking about the church where the lights are off, the lasers are on, the smoke machines are on. You feel like you're walking into a rock concert. Yeah, they're not going to teach you this. They're not going to teach you a lot of things. They're not going to teach you the whole counsel of God. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that a harlot can be identified by her clothing. In Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 10, listen to me. I'm reading the Word of God to you. Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 10 says this, "And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart." Well, I don't think you should judge people based off how they're dressed. Well, I didn't. God did. God says that there is a way that a woman can dress that would make her look like a harlot. He says, "There met him a woman with the attire of an harlot." And ladies, you ought to strive to dress in such a way where you're modest, where you're bringing glory to God, not bringing attention to yourself. So we're looking at these guidelines for dress standards. What are they? Well, number one, we see modesty. But I want you to notice a second guideline that God gives to us. And I'm going to say this, and you're going to think, well, isn't that obvious? But I think we'll find when we look at Scripture that maybe it's not so obvious. In the second guideline, if you're writing these things down, and I hope you are, when we're talking about how we ought to dress and appear, guideline number one, modesty. Here's guideline number two, nakedness. Nakedness. You know that God desires for you to cover your nakedness? In fact, one of the reasons that clothing was created was to cover your nakedness. Now, we got to ask the question, well, what is nakedness according to the Bible? What is nakedness according to the Bible? The Bible teaches us, and I'm going to prove this to you from the Bible, that anything, and I realize that this should be obvious, but then you think to yourself, well, it's obvious, and then it's not. The Bible teaches that nakedness is anything from your waist, okay? We're talking about if you're wearing a belt, from where your belt would go, from your waist down to your knees. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? From where your belt would go down to where your knees would go, that area on your body, according to the Bible, on the front and on the back, is considered your nakedness. Now, when we talk about nakedness, there's going to be a little bit of crossover here with modesty, but let me just give you the verses, okay? I'm going to prove this to you from the Bible. Exodus chapter 28. Are you there? Look at this. Because if you walk out mad this morning, I hope you don't, but if you walk out mad this morning, I want you to be mad at God, not at me. I mean, you can be mad at me too, but I want you to see that what I'm showing you is from the Word of God. It's from the Bible. Exodus 28, look at verse 42. Exodus 28, 42. The Bible, do you understand the Bible tells us everything about everything? It tells us everything that we need to know for life and godliness. God tells us everything that you and I need to know to live for Him. He doesn't leave things unsaid. Sometimes He says things clearly. Sometimes He gives us principles to guide us. But everything that you and I need to know is in the Bible. Exodus 28, verse 42. I want you to see these words. Exodus 28, 42 says this, "And thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness. This is God commanding Moses to make an article of clothing. We'll come back to that in a minute. And he says, but here's the purpose, to cover their nakedness. And then God explains what he means by that. He said, from the loins even unto the thighs they shall reach. Now, sometimes people, they like to argue these things, and they're like, well, it doesn't say down to the knees, it says to the thighs. Obviously, the idea is that it's covering your loins and your thighs. Because if you went from from where your loins end to where your thighs begin, we're talking, are we going to put like a little belt, like a little sash, like this long? Obviously, he's talking about from your waist to where your thighs end, that's your nakedness. He says, I want you to cover the loins. The word loins is an older word. We don't use it a lot today. But let me give you the definition. It means the part of the body between the hips and the lower ribs, that'd be your waist. It's a reference to the reproductive organs of your body. I think that in a church like this, everyone's going to agree, yeah, that's your nakedness. When we're talking about your reproductive organs that are below your waist and down to your knee, to your thighs, then yeah, that is your nakedness. And God says that's your nakedness, and God says, I want that covered. I want you to make clothing that's going to cover the loins. But it's not just that. Go with me to Isaiah. Keep your place. Do me a favor. Keep your place in Exodus. We're going to come right back to it. But go with me, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 47. If you start from the center of the Bible, you're more than likely following the book of Psalms. And after Psalms, you have Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 47. I hope you're here this morning because you want to learn the Bible. I hope you're here this morning because you actually want to know, what does God actually say about these things? Exodus 28:42 tells us, I want you to cover your nakedness. What's your nakedness? From your loins, even unto the thigh, they shall reach. So we see that the loins are your nakedness, the part of your body between the hips and that is lower than the ribs, between your belt, your waist, down your reproductive organs. That's your nakedness. But I want you to notice that God also considers your thigh your nakedness. You say, prove it. Isaiah 47, look at verse 1. Isaiah 47, 1. Well, first of all, in Exodus 28, 42, we already saw the loins even unto the thighs they shall reach. So the thighs have already been mentioned. Isaiah 47, 1 says this, come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground, there is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Here, the prophet is speaking to these women from Babylon. O virgin daughter of Babylon, O daughter of the Chaldeans. Notice verse 2. He says, take the millstone and grind the meal, uncover thy locks, make bare the leg. Now, I want you to see this. Uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers. So he says, uncover the thigh. By the way, these are people that are being having the judgment of God that's going to come upon them. And he says, this is what's going to happen. You're going to uncover the thigh. Notice verse 3, thy nakedness shall be uncovered. So according to Isaiah 47 verse 2, he says, uncover the thigh. And then in Isaiah 47, 3, he identifies that as nakedness because he says, uncover the thigh, thy nakedness shall be uncovered. Yea, thy shame shall be seen. It will take vengeance and will not meet thee as a man. So look, I'm just showing you. You can do whatever you want with it. This is between you and God. But I'm showing you, God tells us, here's what nakedness is, your loins. Here's what nakedness is, your thighs. And God says, I want your nakedness covered up. God says, I don't want to see your thighs. Let me give you another thing that God calls nakedness. Go to Isaiah chapter 20. Isaiah chapter 20. And of course, this will require a little bit of maturity from some of you. But let's look at it. Isaiah 20 verse 4. Isaiah chapter 20 verse 4. The Bible says this. So shall the kings of Assyria lead away the Egyptians prisoner and the Ethiopians captive, young and old. I want you to see this, Isaiah 20, verse 40, young and old, naked and barefoot, okay? So he says, they're going to lead you. So shall the kings of Assyria lead away the Egyptian prisoners, the Ethiopians captive, young and old, naked and barefoot. He's about to describe what someone naked and barefoot looks like. He says, even with their buttocks uncovered for the shame of Egypt. This should not be a surprise to any of you that God considers your rear end, your buttocks, nakedness. So what does God say is nakedness? Because when we're going to dress for God, we want to dress in a way that is pleasing to Him. What does God say? God says, I want you to consider your modesty. Make sure you're dressed modestly. You're not bringing attention to yourself. But He said, I want you to consider your nakedness. I want you to cover your nakedness. And God says your nakedness are your loins, your thigh, and your buttocks, your rear end. Pretty much everything from your waist to your knees on the front and back, according to the Bible, are your nakedness. Now you might say, well, Pastor, I don't understand why you're taking so much long to explain this. I think all of us agree that your rear end is your nakedness. I think all of us agree that your loins are your nakedness. I don't understand why you're taking the time to teach this. Well, here's why I'm taking the time to teach this, because yeah, you would think, and sometimes I preach these types of things and people roll their eyes and they're like, why are you preaching this? Except for the fact that we live in an entire society that doesn't think these things are nakedness anymore. Because you tell people, hey, don't show your thighs and don't show your rear end, don't show your buttocks. And people are like, doesn't everybody know that? Yeah, everybody knows that until, of course, they put a hole in the ground and fill it with water and call it a pool. And then all of a sudden, it doesn't matter if you walk around in your underwear. Until, of course, you find a beach somewhere or a river somewhere, and then all of a sudden, who cares what God says? Now, look, here's the thing. You say, Pastor, are you against swimming? I'm all for swimming. But you know you can swim in a way that's modest? You can enjoy a beach and enjoy a river in a way that's modest. How does this apply to Christian clothing? How does this apply to Christian clothing standards? Well, here's the thing. The Bible says that Christians should not wear things that reveal your loins, that reveal your buttocks, that reveal your thighs. So you say, what does that mean? Here's what that means. Any Christian that wants to dress in such a way that is honoring to the Lord is not going to put on a bikini. You say, why? Because it reveals your thighs and your buttocks. You're not going to put on a bathing suit. Why? Because it reveals your thighs and your buttocks. You're not going to put on short shorts. Why? Because they reveal your thighs. And by the way, sometimes people get upset like, oh, you're just preaching against the lady. There's a whole lot of guys today walking around in some short shorts. Let me tell you something. Let me let you in on a little secret. This is not the 1970s anymore. And if you got shorts that are revealing your thigh, look, that's your nakedness. And guys, nobody wants to see your hairy thighs. Sometimes, you know, it's this, people want to always dress like the way culture dresses. So you see these guys, and I think to myself, no one should be wearing those shorts, but you definitely needed to put those shorts away like 35 pounds ago. Because those are some chunky thighs that are put into those short shorts. And nobody wants to see that. Look, I'm just telling you, a Christian who wants to dress in a way that is pleasing to the Lord, you say, well, I can't. Well, how do I go swimming? Just wear shorts that cover your thighs. Just wear clothes that covers your nakedness. That's modest. If you're going to dress in a way that doesn't reveal your nakedness, you know what you're not going to wear? You're not going to wear, ladies, bikinis or bathing suits. Men, the Lord forbid, you're not going to wear Speedos, short shorts, mini skirts, short skirts. How about long skirts with high slits that reveal your thigh? These are all things that a Christian is going to say, you know what? I'm not going to wear that because that reveals my nakedness. And again, look, you say, I've never heard this before. Then this is a guilt-free sermon for you. You've never heard this. You never had a church or a pastor that loved you enough to teach you these things. Then you don't need to feel any sort of guilt or shame. We're here to teach you the Word of God. Growing churches always have growing Christians. But you know what we are going to do is we're going to love you enough to tell you the truth and love you enough to tell you, hey, God wants you to cover up your nakedness. By the way, ladies, let me say this. When you wear a skirt, you ought to wear a skirt long enough. If you're going to say, you know what, I'm going to dress in a way that covers my nakedness, my thighs are my nakedness, so I'm not going to wear a mini skirt that's going to reveal my thigh. Consider this. You ought to wear a skirt long enough that covers your thigh even when you sit. Because sometimes you preach sermons like this, and this is the problem with your heart's not in it, you're just trying to follow rules. When your heart's not in it and you're just trying to follow rules just to make pastor happy. Don't try to make pastor happy. Who's pastor? I'll try to make God happy. But people go, well, how long can the skirt be? And then you got this thing where it's like. And you're, well, I'm gonna wear it as short as possible, just to cover my thigh. Well, the problem is when you wear skirts, ladies, that are too tight and just not long enough, you say, well, it's going down to my knee. Yeah, except for when you sit down. As soon as you sit down, it goes all the way up. And again, you're revealing your nakedness. And maybe you don't care about that. Maybe it doesn't make a difference to you. I'm just telling you, God cares about it. And you ought to care what God cares about. We would solve a lot of problems as Christians if we just decided, I'm going to care what God cares about. And if God took the time to put it in the Bible, then he cares about it. So when it comes to biblical guidelines and appearance, what are the words? Modesty. What are the words? Nakedness. And let me tell you something. Today we live in a world where people run around naked and don't even know it. Where the word naked is so watered down that people don't even know that they are naked or not naked or whatever. You know what Jesus said to the church of the Laodiceans in Revelation 3? You don't have to turn there, I'll just read this for you. But Jesus, speaking to a church of believers, in Revelation 3 said this. He said, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Doesn't that sound like American Christianity? He says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Jesus said, you don't even know that you're running around naked. You think you're increased with goods and have need of nothing. He said, you don't even know. Knowest not thou that thou art naked. Knowest not thou that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? He said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. It's always interesting to me how simple, because you know, when you preach sermons like this, and by the way, I've been doing this for 14 years. I know these sermons can be offensive to people. But let me just tell you something about a sermon like this. Don't overcomplicate it. People, sometimes they hear a sermon like this, they get really offended, and I can't, you know. You know what God says? You know what Jesus says? He says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and that need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. He said, you don't even know that you're naked. He said, here's what I counsel. This is what Jesus said. Who thinks that if Jesus says, I'm going to give you some counsel, maybe we ought to take it? I mean, if Jesus says, I'm going to give you some advice, here's some advice. He says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. You know what God says? You say, if you're here this morning, you say, I never heard this teaching. I didn't know that was nakedness. I didn't know putting on a bathing suit was nakedness. I didn't know short shorts were nakedness. You say, what do I do? Here's what Jesus says. Just buy some clothes and put them on. He says, it's that simple. I counsel thee, buy of me white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Don't overcomplicate this. Don't say, well, I don't know, I got to go on some journey, and I've got to figure this out. It's this. Look, just cover your nakedness, you'll be fine. Just dress modestly, you'll be fine. So biblical guidelines. Biblical guidelines for clothing, what are they? Number one, modesty. Number two, nakedness. Go with me, if you would, to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 11. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. In the New Testament, you've got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians. You say, when is this going to be over? Again, you might be used to the church where the singing's an hour and a half and the preaching's 20 minutes. You say, why do they do that? Because they don't want to preach the whole Bible. That's why. They want to fill in the time with a bunch of music so they can just teach a little Bible and make sure you're not offended. We at Verity Baptist Church are going to give you the Bible in heavy doses. Now, I think the singing at our church is amazing. I think the music at our church is great. Praise God for the music. But you know, we're going to emphasize the Word of God. And we're going to spend time in the Word of God. So biblical guidelines for appearance, what are they? Modesty. If you're writing these down, I hope you are. Modesty, nakedness. Let me give you the third word that should guide our decision making. And the third word is this, identity. Identity. When it comes to biblical guidelines for our appearance, when it comes to a biblical dress code, What are the words that we should consider? Modesty. Am I dressed in a modest way? Am I dressed in a way that is not bringing attention to myself? Am I dressed in a way that's not bringing, causing people to look at me? Number two, nakedness. Am I covering my nakedness? Am I covering all of the nakedness? And by the way, this idea of modesty and nakedness, it kind of goes back and forth. Because obviously being naked can also be being immodest. But there's a third thing that we ought to consider when it comes to biblical guidelines for appearance, and it's this word, identity. Identity. And look, I've been preaching this literally. I mean, I believe this my whole life. I grew up an independent fundamental Baptist. This is what I've been taught my whole life. The home I grew up in, the churches I grew up in, they all taught these things. I understand that today people, even independent fundamental Baptists, are leaving these teachings. But you know what? The Bible didn't change. Just because culture changed, God didn't change. The Bible says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible says that God is not a man that he should lie. He's not a man that he should repent. He's not a man that he should change. So God, the word of God didn't change. But when it comes to this idea of identity, I've believed this my whole ministry. I've taught this my whole ministry. But let me tell you something. Today, this is more important than ever. Because when we're talking about identity, here's what we're talking about. We're talking about the fact that the way you dress, the clothes you put on, the way that you appear ought to identify your gender. The Bible teaches that men should dress like men and ladies should dress like ladies. And people should be able to look at you and say, oh, that's a woman, and look at you and say, oh, that's a man. And God talks about these things. And look, 14 years ago, my wife and I started this church in September of 2010. We started in our living room with just a handful of people. I would preach this, and people would roll their eyes and think, like, why are you saying that? Who cares about that? But you know what? Today, you know what we have in America? A big fight against this transgender, transvestite movement, which is all about what? All about blurring the lines between men and women. Men dress like women. Women dress like men. And let me tell you something. The battle was not lost 5 years ago. It was lost 15 years ago. It was lost 25 years ago when conservative Baptist preachers decided they're not going to preach sermons like the sermon I'm preaching right now because it's too controversial, because they'd rather grow a church. Look, I'm all for growing churches, but I'd rather grow a church with people that love God than a bunch of liberals. So when it comes to clothing, identity. God cares that the way you dress, the way you look, identifies your gender. Now look, again, I'm teaching you what the Bible says, and let me just go ahead and say it again. A growing church has growing people. And for some of you, maybe you've never heard this before. This is new to you. And for you, no one's looking down on you. No one's thinking, I can't believe this person looks like this or dressed like this. Look, the thing about our church is we're a soul-winning church. We had 111 soul winners out yesterday, knocking doors, preaching the gospel, inviting people to church. We love new converts, so nobody in this church is looking down on you. We love new converts that are coming in and learning and growing. So look, you say, I've never heard this before. Don't feel bad, but let us teach you the Bible. Let us teach you the Word of God. Modesty, nakedness. Here's the third word, identity. Identity. Now, what does the Bible say about identifying your gender? There's two main teachings in the Word of God with regards to this. And I'll show them to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14 says this. First of all, hair identifies your gender. Hair identifies your gender. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 14, doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him. But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. And look, there's no clearer way for me to say that to you than to just read these verses. The Bible is very clear. God wants men to have short hair. He wants ladies to have long hair. Period. End of story. Doth not even nature itself teach you if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him. And if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. And people say, yeah, but in our culture today, women have short hair and men have long hair. That's because we have a culture that does not care about the Bible. We have a culture that is leaving the Word of God and leaving the truth of the Word of God. And again, if you've grown up in that culture, you've never heard this type of teaching, you've never heard these things, you might think, man, this is new to me. I've never heard this before. We're not against you, but we are going to teach you that the Bible says, hey, men, God wants you to have short hair. Ladies, God wants you to have long hair. And let me just say this. Don't overcomplicate this. Don't make this too difficult. Don't say, well, what am I supposed to do? It's real simple. Get a haircut. Or let your hair grow. If you're a lady that maybe cut your hair short, let your hair grow. If you're a man that has long hair, get a haircut. And you know what? It's simple. This is probably one of the simplest things to do in the Bible. When you learn, like, oh, I didn't know that. Well, look, if you didn't know that, that's not your fault. Nobody taught you this. Nobody's loved you enough to show you the Word of God. But the Bible says, if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him. And if a woman have long hair, it is her glory. It is a glory to her, for hair is given her for a covering. And look, and if you don't like it, you got to take it up with God. But here's what God says. God says, men have short hair. Ladies have long hair, because I want to make sure there's a difference between a man and a woman, that they look different. I want to identify their gender through their appearance. Amen. That's what God says. So just do it. And people always, they want to ask these questions like, well, how long is long and how short is short? And look, God doesn't sit here. I was in the United States Air Force, and in the United States Air Force, you know, they had certain rules. And if your hair was touching your ear, it was too long. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that that's what the Bible says. I'm just telling you, God doesn't give all those guidelines, because you know what God cares about? He cares about your heart. And if your heart's right, he doesn't have to give you all these guidelines. Say, well, it has to be this short and this long. Here's all I would say, men. If people can look at you and say, oh, you got long hair, then it's too long. Because I don't think anybody would look at me and say, oh, your hair is a little too long there. You know, and here's the thing. I don't have a lot of hair. I just kept the U.S. Air Force look. But even if you have hair that's nice and you can comb it and whatever, you can still have hair on your head and not have people say it's long. Here's all I would say. If people look at you, man, and say, oh, you got long hair, if they identify you as having long hair, then it's long, too long. You say, what about ladies? How short is short? Well, all I would say is this. If people look at you and say, oh, that lady has short hair, it's too short. That doesn't mean that you have to have hair down to your knees. It doesn't mean that you can't have it to your shoulder. It doesn't mean that. But here's what I'm saying to you. These ladies walking around with these dyke haircuts, with these shaved heads, it's too short. God doesn't want you to look like a man. Look, men, you should want that if somebody walks up behind you, you're at the store, and somebody walks up behind you, they can clearly see, oh, this is a man. And ladies, you would want somebody walks up behind you, and they can clearly see, oh, this is a lady. You don't want them to be like, excuse me, ma'am, and then he turns around, it's a full beard. And it's just like, you know, but a long hair, skinny jeans. God is against the blurring of the sexes. If we would have settled this 20 years ago, we wouldn't be having the transgender problem we're having right now. So identity. What identifies you as a Christian? Hair identifies you, your gender. Let me give you a second thought. Deuteronomy chapter 22. Deuteronomy chapter 22. If you kept your place in Exodus, you've got Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 22. We're talking about biblical guidelines for your appearance. What are they? Modesty. What are they? Nakedness. What are they? Identity. Hair identifies your gender. But let me give you a second thought. Clothes identify your gender as well. And again, I've been saying it, but let me just say it again. A growing church is growing people in it. You've never heard of this before. Maybe you're a first-time guest at our church this morning. We've got several first-time guests. You're like, I've never heard a sermon like this. Hey, don't feel guilty. Just embrace the Bible and say, wow, I didn't know the Bible taught that. That's interesting. And I'm going to apply that to my life. Clothes identify your gender. In Deuteronomy 22 and verse 5, the Bible says this. Deuteronomy 22 verse 5. I want you to see it. Deuteronomy chapter 22 verse 5. The woman shall not wear that. Look at what the Bible says. Which pertaineth unto a man. So here the Bible clearly tells us that God does not want a woman to wear something that pertains unto a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so, look at these words, are abomination unto the Lord thy God. Now, of course, this applies to the transvestite LGBTQ movement of today. But you know, this applies further than that. Because what this verse is telling us, it's saying the woman shall not wear that. Look at what the Bible says. Don't get mad at me. Get mad at God or get mad at Moses if you're going to get mad at somebody. The Bible says the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Let's just break this down real quick. What does that mean? Here's what this means. That according to the Bible, there is an article of clothing. There is something that someone can wear that pertains to a man that a woman should not wear. I mean, isn't that true? You can't look at that verse and say it's not saying that. It's God is saying the woman shall not wear that which pertains unto the man. What does that mean? That means there's something that God says men wear that women should not wear. And then he says, the woman, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. So when we look at the first statement, the woman shall not wear that which pertains unto a man, we've got to ask this question. What is God talking about? What type of clothing pertains to a man that a woman should not wear? I mean, what? And look, again, we could just read it and say, therefore God doesn't want you to wear. But what is he talking about? Is he talking about socks? Is he talking about shirts? Is he talking about shoes? Well, maybe it'd be easier if we answered the second question. Let's answer the second question first. Because in our culture, at least in Christianity, I think this should be clear. What's the second statement? Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. Now, when you read that statement, or when you hear that statement, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, this means that according to the Bible, there is clothing that pertains to a woman that a man should not wear. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. What does that immediately, what should that take your mind to? I think all Christians, even the non-conservative, even the liberal, even the fun center, even the we got our church set up like a rock concert Christian, I think if they're any sort of Christian, I think they're going to agree that when the Bible says, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, what the Bible is saying, that a man should not put on a dress or a skirt. You say, why? Because that is cross-dressing. Because that is being a transvestite. Because that's the whole transgender movement of our day. So neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. I mean, he says it's an abomination. Isn't it true? And again, I'm not trying to be vulgar or whatever, but I mean, think about these quote-unquote drag queens. Bunch of men putting on women's dresses and wigs and makeup. God says it's wicked. It's wicked as hell. And God says, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. So I think we can all agree that there's a certain clothing that belongs to women that men should not put on. Amen. And mark my words, there will come a day in this country. You say, well, everybody agrees with that. There will come a day in this country where even preaching that part of the verse will be controversial. Because so many men will be walking around in dresses and skirts, it'll just become normal. But let me tell you something. As true as neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, this part of the verse is also true. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Amen. See, well, what is that talking about? Well, let's just look at the Bible. What is the article of clothing that the Bible mentions over and over again that men wear and it never mentions women wearing? Let me show it to you. Are you there in Deuteronomy? Go to Exodus 28. Exodus 28. And again, listen to me. I'm not trying to offend you. I'm not trying to pick on you. If you've never heard this before, that's not your fault. God bless you. I'm glad you're here. Let us teach you the Bible. And you know what? If you can make it through this sermon, there's probably going to be other sermons that you're going to be like, oh, I didn't know that either. And every day we're learning and growing in our Christian walk. Isn't that the point? Why do you come to church? Do you come to church just to be affirmed in everything you do? Or do you come to grow and to become better and to draw closer to God? Exodus 28, verse 42. Look at what it says. Exodus 28, 42. And thou shalt make them, this is God speaking to Moses about the priest, male priest. He says, I want you to make them linen, notice this word, breeches. Breeches. Why does God want them to make them breeches? To cover their nakedness from the loins, even unto the thighs, they shall reach. That word breeches there, B-R-E-E-C-H-E-S in your King James Bible, it's just an older spelling of a word that, honestly, we don't use a lot today, but the word is breeches, B-R-I-T-C-H-E-S. What are breeches? They are knee-length trousers. Think about, like, shorts that go down to your knees. That's what breeches are. You ever heard this term before? Someone says about some young guy, oh, he's getting a little too big for his britches. It's talking about pants, knee-length pants, knee-length trousers. You know what God told Moses to make for the male priest? He said, thou shalt make them linen breeches. You say, oh, that's just one verse. Okay, let me show you another one. Go to Leviticus chapter 6. You're there in Exodus, just flip over to Leviticus chapter 6. Leviticus chapter 6, look at verse 10. Leviticus chapter 6 and verse 10. Leviticus chapter 6 and verse 10, the Bible says, the priest shall put on his linen garments, Leviticus chapter 6, verse 10, and his linen breeches. That's breeches. Okay, so Exodus tells us that the male priest wore breeches, knee-length trousers, like shorts, because they're in the desert. So yeah, I mean, I'm in the desert, I'm probably going to put on a pair of shorts too. But God wanted to make sure they were long enough to cover their thighs. Leviticus 6:10 tells us, and the priest shall put on his linen garments and his linen breeches. Breeches. Okay, you say, well, that's only two verses. Okay, let me give you another one. Go to Leviticus chapter 16. Look at verse 4. Leviticus chapter 16 and verse 4. The Bible says, he shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and shall be girded with the linen girdle, that's a belt, and with the linen mitre, that's a hat, shall he be attired. These are the holy garments, therefore shall he wash his flesh in water, and so put them on. So here we see again that they were to put on linen breeches. And you say, oh, well, that's just, you know, three. Okay, let me give you another one. How many do I have to give you? Let me give you another one. You don't have to turn here. I'll just read this for you, unless you really want to see it. Ezekiel 44:18. You don't have to turn there. I'll just read this for you. Ezekiel 44:18. They shall have linen bonnets upon their heads. That's an older word that means hat. And shall have linen breeches upon their loins, or breeches upon their loins. They shall not gird themselves with anything that causeth sweat. So what do we have now? We have one, two, three, four so far, four verses telling us men wear breeches. Let me give you another one. Daniel chapter 3. This is a different one. You got to pay attention. You don't have to turn here. I'll just read this for you. Daniel chapter 3, verse 21. Then these men were bound. Remember when the three Hebrew children were thrown into the fiery furnace? God describes for us what they were wearing. Then these men were bound in their coats. And then it says this, their hosen. Their hosen and their hats and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. The Bible tells us they were wearing hosen. You know what hosen? The word hosen, it's an older word. We don't use it that much today. It's an old Germanic word used in both German and modern English, or in the modern English is referring to like the English of the 1600s, meaning not old English. That's a different sermon for another day. And the word means this, pants. That's what the word hosen means. We don't use it a lot today, but it means hosen. And even in our contemporary English, the word hosen means pants. So what were the three Hebrew children wearing when they were thrown into the fiery furnace? Coats and their hosen, their pants. Look, I know that every picture of Bible characters you've seen in the Bible, they're all wearing, all the men are wearing dresses. And look, in the Bible, they did wear long coats. And I'm actually going to preach a whole sermon about this tonight. So I want to encourage you to come back tonight if you're interested, or maybe don't come back tonight if this is offensive to you. But look, in the Bible, men didn't wear dresses. All the way in the time of Moses, when they come out of Egypt, God is telling them, put breeches on them. Put pants on them. Because let me tell you something. Throughout all of human history, men have wore pants and women have wore dresses. And there is a garment that women, the Bible says, should not wear, and it's pants. And again, let me just be clear. Ladies, if you're here this morning and you're wearing a pair of pants, first of all, let me just say this. There's probably like three or four of you that are wearing pants. Because we're a growing church. And a growing church always has new believers and new people, and there's people that have never heard this. So no one's looking down on you. And let me just say to those of you that are not new, don't become a Pharisee about these things. Right. You start looking down on people. You came in years ago dressed bad. Right. So don't get this attitude like, well, I'm better than you. No, why don't you worry about your heart and fix your heart first? Because if your heart's right, you're not going to get all proud about the way you look. The only reason we care about how we look is because we want our hearts to be right, and we want that right, being right with God in our hearts, to flow out to our exterior. Amen. So if you're here this morning and you're doing any of these things, maybe you're a guy and you got really short shorts on. We're not mad at you, all right? We're just teaching you the Bible. But here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that there is a garment that the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. And neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. And I'm here to tell you, those garments are dresses or skirts for ladies and pants for men. And just as much as a woman should not wear dresses, excuse me, as a man should not wear dresses, a woman should not wear a pair of pants. It's simple. And look, if you're fighting me on this right now and you're like, I can't believe you're saying this, I can't believe. Let me just give you psychological proof that whether you've never heard this before in your life, say it's the first time I've ever heard it, and if that's the case, we're not mad at you. But this is psychological proof that what I'm telling you is right. Because what I'm about to show you, you have identified this your entire life. You've known this your entire life. In fact, you may have traveled the world, and you may have been in airports and restaurants and stores where you were there and you didn't speak the language. You didn't understand what they were saying to you. They didn't understand what you were saying to them. But when you saw this, no one had to explain it to you. No one had to translate it for you. You knew exactly what you were looking at. You say, what are you going to show us? I'm going to show you this. Let's say you're traveling somewhere. You don't speak the language and you really need to use the restroom. And you see these two signs. You know which one's men. You know which one's women. Because doth not nature itself teach you? Because isn't it just human nature to know that there are some things that men should only wear and some things that women should only wear? And if the men's bathroom had this picture on it, you're in San Francisco. No. If the men's bathroom has this picture on it, that'd be like, that's not right. And if the women's bathroom had this picture on it, you'd be like, that's confusing. Because it's real clear which one's a male and which one's a female. The Bible says in Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And look, again, I'm just telling you, God wants men and women to look different. Satan wants to blur the lines between the sexes. And God wants to say, he says, I want there to be a clear distinction. Let me give you one last verse and we'll be done. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, you don't have to turn there, I'll just read this for you. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says this, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. The word sanctify means to set apart. That's what separation is. You're set apart from the world unto God. Not to look down on people, but to draw nigh to God. We separate to draw nigh to the Lord, not so that we can look down on others. But look, you can't draw nigh to God when you're naked and you don't even know it. Or you're cross-dressing and you don't even know it. Or you're immodest and you don't even know it. So the Bible says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. The word holy there is wholly. That means completely. He says, and I pray your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know that God cares about your spirit and your soul. But he also cares about your body. So when it comes to our bodies being sanctified wholly unto God, what should we consider? Modesty, nakedness, and identity. These should be things that guide us. When we wake up in the morning, you know what we should say? When we wake up in the morning, we should say, we should remember these words. The Apostle Paul said, in whatsoever ye do. He said, whether ye eat or ye drink, he said, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. And I would say to you that even when we put on clothes, we should be concerned with bringing glory to God. And these should be things that guide you. Modesty, nakedness, identity. Modesty, nakedness, and identity. And again, let me just say this. This is something that's between you and God. I understand exterior can be very public. It's something we see. But at the end of the day, where does this begin? It begins in your heart, and it flows out of your heart onto your exterior. And let me just say to you, this is something that's between you and God, and you need to decide, you know, I'm learning this. I've never heard this before. What am I going to do with it? Whatever you decide to do with it, that's between you and God. And I can tell you this, that if my wife and I run into you ladies out and about, and we run into church people all the time. I mean, we can't go anywhere without running into church people, ex-church people. I mean, it's just, you know, it can get kind of awkward. But if we run into you, ladies, and you're wearing a pair of pants, let me tell you something. We are not going to look down on you. We're not going to think anything negative about you. We're going to just love you and be excited to see you. Because you know what? We understand that at the end of the day, this is a decision you need to make between you and God, and it's nobody else's business. But I am going to teach you the Word of God. And I am going to teach you what the Bible says. And at the end of the day, we need to understand this, that God cares about every area of your life, including your body, and we should care about what God cares about. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you. And Lord, I do pray that this sermon would be received in the spirit in which it was preached. And it's not to make anybody feel bad or look bad or to offend anybody. It's just to teach the Word of God. And Lord, I realize that it's very likely that there are people here listening online, people that will listen to the sermon in the future, and they've never heard something like this. This was completely new to them. And Lord, I pray that you'd help them to just have the right spirit, to realize that we love them. Nobody's looking down on them. Nobody's judging them. But we are teaching the Word of God. We're going to teach the whole counsel of God. And we love them enough to teach what the Bible says. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be Christians that are wholly given to you, body, soul, and spirit. In the matchless name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, God bless you. Thank you for being here this morning. And I want to encourage you.